Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Texas lawmakers again try to private businesses from requiring COVID-19 vaccines. Conservative Texas lawmakers are taking another shot at prohibiting private businesses from requiring employees to get COVID-19 vaccines. The new legislation comes after years of Republican attempts to rein in COVID-related restrictions like mask mandates and vaccine requirements. Senate Bill 7 by Galveston Republican Senator Mays Middleton offers no exceptions to its proposed ban on vaccine mandates by private businesses and would subject employers to state fines and other actions if they fire or punish employees who refuse the shot. The Senate Health and Human Services Committee quickly passed the bill Tuesday, the second day of a special legislative session. It's about protecting individual liberties and medical freedom for all Texans, Middleton told the committee. No one should be forced to make that awful decision between making a living for their family and their health or individual vaccine preference. The bill passed the committee along party lines, with 6 Republicans voting for it and 3 Democrats opposing it. The legislation could reach the Senate floor for debate as early as Thursday, which could feature proposed amendments creating exemptions for health care facilities. In late 2021, Republican Governor Greg Abbott issued an executive order banning the mandates, but it touched off confusion over who was covered by the order and how enforceable it was. The order expired in June, triggering a legislative attempt to codify it during the regular session earlier this year. After that attempt failed, Abbott added the issue to the agenda for this year's third special legislative session. A new state law banning governmental entities from requiring the COVID-19 vaccine went into effect last month. The current lack of exceptions for doctors' offices, clinics, or other health facilities triggered objections by 2 members of the committee who have had kidney transplants. Senator Kelly Hancock, Republican, North Richland, Texas, and Senator Boris Miles, Democrat, Houston, as well as some skepticism by the Republican committee chair, Senator Lois Kolkhorst, Republican, Brenham. Miles and Hancock both argued that immunocompromised people like them deserve to have low-risk environments go to for treatment. They asked Middleton to consider adding exceptions for some of those places or circumstances. I want to point out that we can't just broadly cover this in a political way, Hancock said. It needs to be surgically addressed, no pun intended, and we do all need to be aware that as we provide freedom for some individuals, we take away from others. Miles, who takes 8 antibiotics every day to prevent infection that would affect his donated kidney, said removing the ability to certain healthcare professionals to provide vulnerable patients could hamper access. It means a lot to me and to the millions of kidney patients across the state, Miles said. I know it means a lot to them, to our elderly. It would mean a heck of a lot to them. With all due respect to you, Brother Middleton, this ain't about Texas. This is not about Republican or Democrat. It ain't about blue or red. It's about the safety of health care. I hope that I can convince you somewhere down the line. Some Republican members of the committee who expressed support for the bill asked opponents if they would accept legislation that allowed businesses to be exempt from the ban as long as they could not punish employees who claim medical, religious, or conscience-driven objections to getting the vaccine. Kolkhorst said the debate comes down to a mistrust of science stemming from a lack of what she and some others believe is reliable data on the safety and efficacy of the COVID-19 vaccine. Legislation she and Middleton carried during the regular session earlier this year included exemptions for private employers that allow employees to opt out for medical or conscious reasons. It also would have exempted healthcare facilities from the ban on vaccine mandates as long as they didn't force employees to take it if their doctors determined they were medically not a good candidate. In both cases, the business or facility also would have been required to have procedures for unvaccinated staff to protect other employees from exposure. That bill passed the Senate but died near the end of the regular session in May without a hearing in the House committee. A similar effort died in 2021 after business groups rallied against it. I think it's a great conversation for us to have, but I do think that we have to be careful how we craft this going forward and working with our members in this committee and their concerns, Cole Horst said about SB 7. I want to be sensitive to the members on this committee that, as Senator Miles said, with his health, he walks a different path than you and I do every day. At Tuesday's hearing in the Texas Senate chamber, anti-vaccine activists who support the bill faced off at the witness table with the Texas Medical Association, as well as hospitals and nursing homes who asked to be left off the bill or given some type of exemption. Physicians and healthcare facilities need to have flexibility to act in the best interest of our patients and our staff, said Dr. Jimmy Widmer, a family physician and past leader of TexPAC, the political arm of the Texas Medical Association. A doctor's office in Texas should have the freedom to set their own vaccination in alignment with the needs of the patients we serve. But if anyone should be subject to a ban on vaccine mandates, bill supporters said, it's the healthcare industry that has played such a pivotal role in the country's response to the pandemic. These are the worst perpetrators of the abuses on employees. This is not about health, it's about control, said Don Richardson, director of advocacy for the National Vaccine Information Center. The willing destruction of the livelihood and health of their employees with a vaccine mandate demonstrates exactly why these businesses should be held to the same standard as every other business. Synergy invites Midland Odessa to celebrate a decade of fun at its Midland location. Synergy Entertainment is thrilled to invite the Midland Odessa community to join in a grand 10-year anniversary celebration of its Midland location, 1917 Liberty Drive, Midland. Prepare for a memorable and fun-filled evening of music, games, delicious food, and a live performance from Midland's very own The State Line Band from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, October 21st. Synergy's 10-year celebration event promises to an action-packed lineup of activities and entertainment for guests of all ages. DJ music to kick off the festivities until 6 p.m. Face painting to unleash your creative spirit. Raffles, prizes, and giveaways every hour. Barbecue and taco food truck and bar for delectable bites and drinks available for purchase. Golf simulator and yard games for some friendly competition. Axe throwing truck for a thrilling experience. UTPB cheerleaders to cheer on the celebrations. A special performance by the State Line Band at 6 p.m. Trustees vote to purchase property. Following an executive session, the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees Tuesday voted to purchase 40 acres at South Trip Avenue for the Westside Middle School proposed in the November 7th bond issue. The board also voted to purchase 169 acres at 9301 Andrews Highway for the purpose of future growth and expansion of Ector County ISD for $3.4 million. Chief Communications Officer Mike Atkins said, that purchase is not related to the bond issue. The 40 acres at South Trip is $720,000 or $18,000 an acre. The board recap said, Superintendent Scott Murray said the property has a water line running out of it. We have already explored options for sewer and it will have sewer, Murray said Wednesday. The three proposition bond is for $436,109,000. People can vote for one, two, or all of the propositions. Since 2020, Ector County ISD has made early payments of about $37.3 million on existing bonds and by prepayments and refinancing saved taxpayers $26.9 million in future interest payments based upon the district's existing tax base. The district will not need to increase the total tax rate of $1.014 to pay the $436,109,000 of bond projects, the district website said. The previous total tax rate was $1.17 per $100 valuation. Early voting runs October 23rd through 27th and October 30th through November 3rd. Along with the middle school, the bond includes a career and technical education center, technology, a new transition learning center, fine arts improvements, technology, safety and security, a new transportation facility, and more. The other two propositions are to do with Ratliff Stadium, a new indoor practice facility at Odessa High School, and replacing the turf at the indoor practice facility at Permian High School. As required by a 2019 law, the ballot language will say it is a tax increase. For more information, visit ectorcountyisd.org/bond2023. Members of the GROW Odessa Board and ECISD leadership at 2 p.m. Wednesday will announce the donation of land related to the upcoming ECISD bond election set for November 7th. Gus Ortega, past board chair of GROW Odessa and Murray, will discuss specifics. The press conference will take place at the Odessa Conference of Commerce, 700 North Grant Avenue, Suite 200. On a separate item, trustees heard the annual review of the schools that are part of the Senate Bill 1882 partnerships with ECISD. State Bill 1882 was signed by the Texas Legislature in 2017 and provides benefits for districts to contract with education partners to promote innovation and improve student outcomes. ECISD has three such partnerships currently, one with the STEM Academy at UTPB, one with the Odessa Family YMCA for pre-kindergarten, and one with Third Future Schools for Ector Middle School. According to the contracts, the partner schools are measured on three areas: academic excellence, organizational strength, and financial health. Murray said he would recommend the district take the school back, as Third Future has turned the campus around. Zach Craddock, Third Future superintendent, said Third Future is projecting they will finish the year strong. He reviewed testing, growth, and financial data for the board. He noted that it opens at 6:30 a.m., starts earlier in the year than ECISD, and stays open later. It also doesn't close for bad weather days. Your success is duly noted, Murray said. Thank you for investing in our kids. 2.5 years ago, ECISD partnered with your Third Future as an in-district charter school. It was previously under the Ector Success Academy Network, whose contract was not renewed by the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees in January 2021 because the campus did not meet its goals. STEM Academy met goals for TEA accountability ratings, NWEA achievement, STAR achievement, college career and military readiness, and financials. In just its second year with ECISD, the STEM Academy agreement is in place until 2025, the recap said. Odessa Family Y met goals for academics and finances and expanded this year with afternoon classes that opened up more spots for three-year-olds to attend. Mary said he will recommend to trustees that they renew the agreement with YMCA. The full presentation is available at item 5A of the agenda. Trustees heard a presentation from the STEM team from the Curriculum and Instruction Department. The STEM team is helping teachers be successful with the formula: attention to details, intention with strategic planning, ease tension by reducing the stress of finding materials and resources, and retention, or keeping teachers longer by providing this support. Math 3-8. Overall results are trending upward year after year. Algebra EOC scores are the highest scores and smallest gap with state in 5 years. There has been good response from teachers using the frameworks, which are set up to be one-stop shops to help provide quality instruction. There are Cal Ripken Senior STEM Labs at 30 campuses that came about through $1.2 million of donation partnerships. This Saturday, the team will host a STEM Summit, a math and science best teaching practices event that coincides with the solar eclipse. The board received information about changes to the district's 2024 employee health insurance plan. For the first time since 2019, ECISD will implement increases in employees' monthly contributions, co-pays, and deductibles. ECISD is well insured, meaning all costs not paid by an employee is paid by the school district. ECISD's medical plan continues to experience an increase in cost due to inflation for goods and services. Large claims over $500,000, an increase in the number of prescriptions filled, and the cost of prescriptions, both generic and specialty. The district will continue to pay $380 per month toward each employee's premium costs. All employees will be receiving detailed information from the Benefits Department and Director Yolanda Gordon. Open enrollment will start on October 23rd and run through November 17th. ECISD is always seeking to provide a competitive benefits package for employees while keeping the insurance fund financially sound. Also, starting January 1st, the health plan will offer unlimited mental health counseling, and they are adding diabetic management coaching at no cost to the employee. Eric Smith, a benefits coordinator and independent contractor, said the idea is to encourage people to get healthier. If they can get 20% of diabetics to do this and be compliant, it could mean $2 million in savings, Smith said. Mary said about 40% of district employees are diabetic. Mary noted that the district has found that larger claims are for spouses on the insurance plan, not employees or children, so that's why the cost for spouses and employees is going up. OPD makes fentanyl-related arrest. An Odessa woman was arrested on felony drug charge Tuesday after police said she agreed to sell an undercover officer 25 fentanyl-laced pills for $250. According to an Odessa Police Department report, undercover officers arranged to buy the pills from Zekia Green, who, after discovering she was using Instagram to sell them. After meeting Green in the parking lot of a local church, the officers saw her shove a package of M30 pills under her dress, the report stated. The officers learned the pills weighed 3.6 grams, and Green admitted she was going to sell them for $10 apiece, according to the report. Green was arrested on suspicion of the second-degree felony charge of manufacturing delivery of a controlled substance. She remained in the Ector County Jail Wednesday night on a $40,000 surety bond. Man suffers broken arm concussion in alleged attack. An Odessa man is facing an aggravated assault with a deadly weapon charge after two men told police he attacked one of them with a baseball bat. According to an Odessa Police Department report, dispatchers received calls around 12:30 p.m. Tuesday from two men who both claimed the other had attacked him. When officers arrived at the Westwood Road Apartments, one resident said he'd been arguing about rent with Justin R. McCarty. Then McCarty hit him in the arm with a baseball bat, prompting him to grab a Michael Myers kitchen knife out of fear. The report stated, the man said he managed to slash McCarty, but McCarty then hit him in the head with the bat before leaving. A second man corroborated the alleged victim's story, and officers observed injuries at Medical Center Hospital that supported his story too, the report indicated. Hospital staff indicated the man suffered a concussion and a broken arm, the report stated. When officers met with McCarty at a gas station on Northwest County Road, he said he grabbed a bat after his roommate stabbed him, but he never struck him with it, the report stated. McCarty remained in the Ector County Jail Wednesday night on a $90,000 surety bond. Men accused of stealing firearms during burglary. Two men are facing multiple charges in connection with a home burglary that police said netted them more than $10,000 in firearms. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a Hilltop Drive resident called police on September 12th after discovering someone had forced open his back door and stolen numerous firearms and other items. On October 5th, detectives were investigating another burglary when they found $8,700 of the $10,000 firearms that had been stolen in September inside a home on North Huntington, the report stated. Victor Blanco Devora admitted he'd helped Eddie Medrano load the stolen guns into a vehicle, the report stated. Devora was arrested on suspicion of unlawful possession of a firearm by a felon, engaging in organized criminal activity, theft of property, $30,000 to $150,000, and burglary of a habitation October 6. He remained in custody Wednesday on surety bonds totaling $100,000. Medrano was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of engaging in organized criminal activity, theft of property $30,000 to $150,000, and burglary of a habitation Wednesday morning. He was released after posting surety bonds totaling $85,000. Two Odessans killed in Tuesday wreck. Two Odessa men were killed Tuesday morning in a two-vehicle wreck on Loop 338 at West 81st Street. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, a preliminary investigation revealed David Medrano, 44, was traveling north on the loop in a Ford F-250 when he veered into the southbound lane for unknown reasons and struck a Chevrolet 250 being driven by Maxton Steele Winkler, 33. Both men were pronounced dead at the scene of the crash, which happened at 6:45 a.m. It is unknown if either man was wearing a seatbelt.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, October 12th. Husband volunteers wife to care for his ailing parents. Dear Abby, I have been married to my husband for 38 years. It has been a happy marriage for the most part. We rarely disagree or argue. The problem is, his parents are both very sick. His mom has Alzheimer's, and his father was just diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. He'll probably die within 6 months. My husband wants us to sell our home and move in with his parents. He says that way we can take care of them both with the caregivers who are there most of the day. He works full-time and says the burden will mostly fall on me. Should I agree to this? We are empty nesters, so this will affect no one but my husband and me. I'm leaning toward yes, but my husband has two sisters and a brother, and I'll be doing something these others won't do for their parents. I have already taken care of my parents, as well as a sick brother, and buried them all. I have no family left. Please give me some advice. Signed, Done This Before in Texas. Dear Done This, a lot more discussion needs to take place before you agree to this or not. As you stated, your husband has siblings. How much responsibility are they willing to take financially, if not with hands-on caregiving? Your father-in-law could live longer than 6 months, becoming increasingly dependent on physical care. When he's gone, your mother-in-law's mental health will diminish, and she will become increasingly helpless until her demise. People have been known to suffer with Alzheimer's for many years. If you sell your home and move in with the in-laws, you may have some money, but you will have no freedom, and if this proves to be too much for you, you may feel trapped. Having done this for your parents and brother, you know what you will be facing. Do not allow yourself to be railroaded or guilted into shouldering this responsibility. If you have a trusted friend or advisor, a doctor, lawyer, or clergy person, run this scenario by them. Do nothing until you have thought this through. Dear Abby, I have a friend I sometimes invite over for dinner. Invariably, when I offer him seconds, he'll say, "No thanks, but I'll take it home." The same thing happens if I offer him a beer or soda. "No thanks, but I'll take it home." It doesn't feel right to me, and I'm not sure how to express that I'm offering this now, not as a doggy bag. Or should I stop offering him seconds? He doesn't have money issues, so he doesn't need to do this. Do you think I'm overreacting? Signed, Baffled in California. Dear Baffled, yes, I do. That he wants to take the food you prepare home to enjoy the next day, I presume, unless he intends it to be a midnight snack, is a compliment. However, since it bothers you, tell him that if he isn't going to eat it with you, your offer is rescinded.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.